You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Chihuahua. If you like Chihuahuas, you raise Chihuahuas, you think they're amazing, or you're from Chihuahua in Mexico, don't write me, don't call. I don't like Chihuahuas, but that's not what this is about. They can be some of the most annoying, loud, obnoxious, what other words do I have here? Terrifying, terrified. If you ever see a Chihuahua that just looks like they're supposed to be on Prozac or Valium or something, you're just like, you know, shaken to death, just all nervous. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, I guess you'd be afraid if you were that little too. But that's not what this is about. Here's where Chihuahuas is going. Had a conversation with a woman the other day and just standing there talking, and she described arguments in their home. And the way they would go down, that her husband was kind of quiet and he didn't like confrontation, but when it got into an argument, she just started, and she's the one confessing this, and it could go either ways, but this is how it was in her house. And she said that she starts going, and I think what he describes as just yapping almost. She wants to get on it now. We're going to solve this now. He'd like to step back, think about it, calm down. And so she said that he refers to her as, and this is where it gets bad, that when she finally says, he says to her, you know, you're just like a Chihuahua. They had problems before, and now there's really trouble. When she calls him a Chihuahua in that context. The reason he probably says that in that moment is that he's trying to get her to be quiet, and he's probably trying to get at her a little bit. But there are just some situations in your life and some moments when there are some extremely annoying and irritating things that happen. But things can just happen. You're like, God, what is this? Now, I'm going to start today by reading you a very extreme situation. 2 Kings chapter 2. Go to the front of your Bible, table of contents, find 2 Kings chapter 2. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm going to read this passage. You're going to think this is the craziest thing you've ever heard, but I don't think we should just pull things out of the Bible and say we're not going to address those or deal with them. There's some tough stuff, and it kind of helps you get a feel for who God is, even if you think it's nuts. And this one is a little bizarre. 2 Kings chapter 2, the story here without reading the whole thing, Elijah the prophet and Elisha, who is his successor, there's an exchange by the use of a mantle. The prophet had a mantle, and if you go read that story, it's very fascinating. But Elijah never died. Elijah was out in the wilderness, and Elisha was trying to keep up with him, and all of a sudden, a chariot basically came out of heaven and picked Elijah up and took him out. It's extraordinary, and you say, well, that's why I don't believe in the Bible and God. It's all these crazy stories. If you tell me you believe that God created the heavens and the earth and you can't buy that, you got a problem. What is it that God can't do if you actually believe he created everything? So don't get hung up on certain parts of the Bible and you say, well, that seems a little nuts, so I'm embarrassed for the Bible because that's in there and it doesn't make sense. And if people read that, they'd ask me stuff. Here's a great way to start when you read your Bible. Either God wrote it or he didn't. And if he did, you can either trust it or you can't, and you can. And you got to stop trying to work your way back to God. You got to say, God, you are God. And you left us a book, and we can trust it. So I'm not going to try to analyze this thing too much. There is stuff in here I just do not get. But that doesn't mean God is not God. And that doesn't mean that from his perspective, it doesn't make perfect sense. Now, here's one of these stories. Elisha has just gotten the mantle, this double blessing, as you're reading the story, if you go back and read it, from Elijah. So he's the prophet. He's coming off of this tremendous high. He goes into this area. There's a
body of water that's barren and the ground is barren. And so he says, put some salt in a bowl, and he pours it in, and boom, the water is healed. So it's miraculous stuff that's happening. Then jump in with let's just read that part of it. Verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which spoke it. So that's one thing just happened. So the blessing, the healing of the water. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths, some translations say some children, and the word used here in the Hebrew for youth could be all the way up to a soldier. So don't get hung up on this as a bunch of little kids necessarily. Going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. So if you're wondering, bald people are covered in the Bible, they are. But you know what? If you happen to be bald or balding, anybody making remarks about that, unless you're on a golf course, it's just really not cool. You know, because you can throw anybody on the bus on a golf course. But so here's this guy who has just been made, you know, the successor to Elijah. It's not about being cocky. And in this city, if you go back and study about Bethel, there was some kind of rival people who resented Elijah, Shah now, and so these guys are just chihuahua-ing him to death, okay? Now, you're about to see something extremely bizarre happen. So he's walking along. They're screaming out, go up, you bald head. In other words, you know, Elijah left. Why don't you leave? They had heard what had happened, Elijah getting taken up, so they're mocking him and just on him, just kind of harassing him. Go up, you bald head. So he turned around and he looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not recommending this. And I don't think in Elisha's, I mean, there are people that curse people. And I can't even say, I know that's a shock to some of you, but I'm not going to repeat. But there are some things, and I think we can all figure out what they are. You look at somebody and someone will say, God, you know, you'll damn someone. Think about what you are saying. You think, well, I was just angry. I wasn't thinking about it. Think about it. When you literally look at someone and say, and I'm going to break it up, just slow it down. If you look at someone and say, God damn you, is that really what you're after? Are you that angry? Is that what you want him to do? Now, luckily, we don't have clout, we don't have game, and these things really don't happen. But if you have enough authority, enough power, and you were to pronounce something on another human being, you'll see here this bizarre, amazing thing happen. He turns around, pronounces a curse on these guys, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Just like that. Like a couple of female bears separated from their cubs and mauled 42 guys. Now, you say, well, what in the world? Why, you know, he couldn't have done it without God allowing it, so God allowed it. What's up with this? You know what? I don't know all the time, but I'm not going to jack with Jesus or God or any of them. And people take a very cavalier, casual, like, hey, no big deal. The man upstairs, my daddy, you know, we have all these. I don't mind you calling him daddy, but be reverent about it. Don't mess with holy things. And what had happened is these young guys, however old they were mocking a prophet of God, and they paid for it. You say, but what about grace and mercy? There is a time for that, but let me tell you something. There is also a time for judgment. And what a lot of Christians nowadays rule out, say, well, you know what, God's not going to do anything to me because I'm covered and there is no consequence. One of the biggest miscalculations I see today in the Christian church and the Christian world and the family of God is that we think that God has removed this thing called consequence. That you can just live like hell, do whatever you want to do, and he's just bluffing. There is no consequence. And I guarantee I can get hands raised in here and say, yes, there is consequence. Yes, there is pain. God does allow suffering to get our attention. He does discipline us along the way. So In this case, the Chihuahuas are a bunch of guys who paid with their lives for messing with this prophet. And you say, well, I don't get that. You know what? Whatever was going down there that day made perfect sense in heaven and right there, whether we get it or not. And you say, well, why would you read these things and confuse people or get them all worried about what's in the Bible? I want you to read your Bible. And this isn't the only situation you're going to find in your Bible. You're going to find God saying to wipe out entire groups of people, men, women, pregnant women, children, and it'll freak you out unless you say, God, I don't see what you saw. I don't get it, whatever you were doing, but there must have been a reason or you would not have said do it, because you are a merciful God. You are a loving God. You're a holy God. You're a righteous, just, all the things you can come up with about who God is. He is all those things. So when he drops the hammer on a person or a group of people, there is a reason. And you have to start with that and not get yourself freaked out about what he does or doesn't do. Go to Proverbs, verse 19. Proverbs 19. I read here something about young men, so let's go at the women for just a second. Proverbs 19, some of you may have these verses already underlined. Verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Chihuahua women. Will not be quiet. How many of you are married to a woman like that? Raise your hand fast. I thought I'd catch you. Some guys not thinking there really quick. It can wear you out. Well, she just wants to talk. I don't want to talk. She's just going out. It's like a continual, it's in the Bible, it's such a big deal. It's a continual dripping, like water, a leak, just drip, drip, drip. You can't sleep at night, just drip, drip, drip. It's in the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. Proverbs. Proverbs 27:15, go over a few pages over, just so you won't think this is an isolated Chihuahua verse. Proverbs 27:15, he flips it around. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Like if you needed further explanation, this is what this is like. Now, hopefully by the time we get done, you say, well, that's too real. I'm not raising my hand. My wife's like that. Maybe she isn't. You know what? This is the stuff of life. It's not the big old bad stuff that comes along. It's the nagging little things of life that just keep coming at you. How are you dealing with the continual irritations of your life? Because if you don't figure it out, it'll eat you up. And I sit and talk to couples and say, you've been married, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. How do you work it out? You say you just got to let some stuff go. You can't make everything a war. It can't always be all or nothing, or I can't take this anymore. And I'll read you a verse in sequence at the end that'll help you with this. Go to Acts chapter 16. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Keep going right. Acts will be over there. Acts 16, the first part of this chapter. It's Paul trying to go different places, and literally he heads to one place and gets a check in his spirit going, no, don't go over there. Let's see here. Go down to verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, and this is an important piece here, why did they go? He wants to go where God wants him. So the implication is, saw a vision, this must be where we're supposed to go, and the purpose is to preach the gospel to them. It's not to go visit, it's not to be tourists, it's to go preach the gospel. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who were there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, and let me make sure you understand this. When people are baptized, the whole house didn't get baptized because she got saved. The only reason the whole household gets baptized is that she became a Christian and all of them became Christians. Okay? This isn't let's package deal, you know, walk them all through the trough here and get it done. Something happened in that family. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. In other words, they agreed to do it. So look at the next verse. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So there were some people that owned this chick. And she had a spirit, an evil spirit in her that could tell the future somehow. And you say, well, is this real? Absolutely. Do not mess with fortune tellers. So here's this girl. She's got power. She's owned literally by some people. And these people are making money off of this girl because she can get somebody in there and tell them stuff and wow and pay cash. So this girl, look at what's going on with her. This girl, verse 17, followed Paul and us, this group that's with him, and cried out saying, she's following down the street, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. You think, well, what's wrong with that? It was irritating. And she's not the one to be proclaiming this. Because if a girl that's possessed by a spirit is crying out this stuff, it's not for any good reason. There was evil behind it. The intent of it was to make trouble. Okay? These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. And then look at the next phrase. But Paul, greatly annoyed. That's all it is. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. And I love this. He didn't speak to her first because she wasn't the problem. Turns and speaks to the Spirit. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Enough of you already. And he came out that very hour. Now, let me show you, try to show you here, where your irritation, where your annoyance, where the things that God sends into your life, the chihuahuas of your life, you think, why is God allowing this? I can't stand this anymore. There is always a reason for everything that happens. He goes to Macedonia. All these things go down. Meets Lydia. Her whole house is saved. He's going back and forth and this girl harassing. And because he got annoyed and spoke to this demon, now the girl is free. It's not good, you'll see in a minute, for everybody else. But this girl is finally delivered from this spirit. But the guys who are making money off of this girl are hot. They are angry. Keep reading with me. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. They didn't do anything to trouble the city. We lost our girl. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. That's not true. That's not what Paul was doing. So they're lying about it. Then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. He ends up in jail because he was irritated. Yak, 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 yak on him. Now, the irritation goes from getting whipped or whooped, however you want to spell it. Within an inch of their lives, they're in prison, all because of something they did. Delivered this girl, obviously was annoyed, got rid of the annoyance, but now it's even worse. So they're in prison. Now look what happens here in this prison. It tells me to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. In other words, I can't risk losing these people. I'm locking them down inside, way inside. But at midnight, and this is what I hope you'll get. If things are working in your life between you and God, in the worst case scenario, you will still be praising and singing and thanking God no matter what. If you want to know whether you're doing okay spiritually, then let the worst thing that can possibly happen, the annoyance of a lifetime, whatever the challenges are, and it keeps coming, and you say, Lord, I don't care what you do, I'm going to keep praising you. nothing is going to derail me. You say, well, that's just positive thinking. It's not anything near positive thinking. You cannot get whipped with a rod 30-something times and go, oh, praise you, Jesus. That's when most people are ready to strangle God, unless you get that something bigger is going on. So these guys are in prison, and at midnight, he says, here, let's go back up, where are we? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Who are these crazy people? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to commit suicide, was about to kill himself, because there's no way I can answer for all these prisoners getting out. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm. Don't hurt yourself, for we're all here. Hey, we're here, dude. Don't kill yourself. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. Now you say, well, but if he believed, that means the whole household saved. No, anybody who calls the name of the Lord will be saved, but it's an individual act. You say, well, I'm saved, my whole family must be saved now. No, that's not possible. You have to believe, every individual has to believe. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. In the middle of the night, the guy was about to commit suicide, and now he's a Christian. Some chick on the side of the road, annoying, turns into a jailer, and his whole family getting saved. What are you willing to put up with for God to do his deal? Well, I'm tired of this, and I'm getting rid of that person. I'm divorcing this woman, my continual dripping. And God says, you know what? I've allowed all these things in your life. I'm trying to get your attention. Some of this stuff is not going to go away. You either are going to change or nothing's going to change, because the situation is probably never going to change. Get over it. Get on with it. Trust me. Praise me. Let's figure out what I'm trying to teach you. Now, life's got lots of irritations.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
But let me read you a pretty heavy duty one out of Luke chapter 23. And one man's response to the irritation at this point in his life. Luke 23, Jesus has been tried. He's been sentenced to death. A couple of the guys, while they're doing a crucifixion, they figure we'll do these two guys while we're doing this guy. So three of them end up being crucified at the same time. Luke 23, verse 32, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then there's a few things that are recorded that Jesus said on the cross, and here's one of the most astonishing in verse 34. Then Jesus said, he's been crucified, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, what do you got to have going on to say that? When you finally realize, you know what, God, I'm taking all this stuff personally. I feel like I'm being attacked. But you know what? It isn't about me. You're trying to teach me something through this situation. You say, but what about my rights? Let me tell you something. I am a slave. That's what Paul referred to himself. You know what kind of rights slaves have? Slaves have no rights. God can do anything he wants to do with me. He can send me anywhere he wants me to go. Some of this stuff that's going on in your life is God's way of sharpening you, of continually driving you to him to say, look, Don't focus on the shadow. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities. It's powers. It's the rulers of darkness. I am allowing heat to come your way to purify you. So don't be engaging the person or the situation. Realize there's a real enemy. He can't do it without my permission. And I'm trying to teach you something. Do you know what a pearl is? If you study oysters and, you know, all these shell animals in the ocean, there are no pearls unless a piece of sand gets inside of that oyster, somehow gets in there, and a pearl is created by the oyster attacking the piece of sand. The oyster tries to protect itself from the piece of sand and starts building layers and layers and layers of coatings to protect itself from the sand. There are no pearls without irritants. And the very thing that's gotten in your life or God has allowed to seep in there, God says, okay, trust me. I know this is so stinking irritating, but trust me. I am going to use this to turn you into the person, the pearl that I'm trying to make you into. Trust me.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.